God, it's cold. You ever, like, have somebody who you live with who needs to have the AC on at all times? Yeah, that's what I'm feeling right now. Get my sweater on in the middle of summer. Well, end of summer. Slightly appropriate. Anyway, hey guys, welcome back. Today, I've never said I was going to be a purely video game type podcast, but I do enjoy video games, and it is a very big part of my life. It's something I do quite often, especially I play World of Warcraft a lot. World of Warcraft. So I kind of want to talk about the afterlife episodes. You know, I'm not a lore expert or nothing. I just kind of want to give my opinion on things, you know, as they come out. First two episodes are out for Bastion and Maldraxxus. So I kind of want to, you know, go through them and talk about them with you guys. Well, I'll talk, you'll listen, and then you'll leave what you think down below, and I'll be like, awesome. So let's get into it. Okay, here we go, live reaction. So I've watched this a week ago. I've already seen Bastion, and I saw Maldraxxus yesterday. I'm really just going over them again, letting them sit, and then coming back to them, because that's the only way I know how to process stuff. If you hear banging in the background, that would be my husband working on a project, so don't worry about it. But the first thing I noticed is the runes on Arthas's blades. That was always kind of the first thing I noticed when I saw the teaser for it. And I know it's of the Maw, so that might be interesting. I really can't wait to see what they have, like, set for Arthas in this one, because I am thoroughly excited to play it. I've been waiting to get my hands on it since I saw the teaser cinematic when Sylvanas broke the helm. So, alright. Am I the only one who thinks, like, Uther red-pilled Devos? Like, because the Kyrians are, like, this weird cult hive mind, and the first time I saw Bastion, I was like, they're evil. There's no way that the angels, the quote-unquote angels, had to be the good guys. That's, like, too on the nose. Like, something has always irked me about Bastion. The minute I saw them, I was like, they have to be evil. They can't be good. I mean, I think all of the covenants are going to have some evil in them, because at the end of the day, there are humans and creatures and everything with their own thoughts and ideas that are going to be in the different areas. But there's something that always kind of stuck out. As somebody who plays a lot of fantasy games and read fantasy novels, there's never a character or a group of people that are this good. And if they are, they're usually evil. Like, they kind of remind me of, have you ever played Pokemon Sun and Moon? You know the, is it the Aether or the Aether? It's the one where Lily and Gladios's mom runs, and they remind me of them so much. The Aether Foundation, that's it. This is what this reminds me of. Like, they're like, we're trying to do good, and we ferry the soul of the damned into the Arbiter, and then they get sent off to Revendreth or Maldraxxus or Ardenwell, or they stay here in Bastion, or they go to the Maw. Like, they are the Grim Reapers, essentially. And to me, that always came off as, like, really weird and really creepy. Like, Uther and Devos literally, what's the word? Don't you hate it when you have a word and you're like, your train of thought gets fucked up? They took Arthas, and they didn't even allow him to be sorted. Yes, chances are he was going to Revendreth or the Maw. Because, like, there's hints that Garrosh might be in Revendreth getting tortured. So, We don't know where Arthas would have ended up. He could have been atoned by now. Who knows? Maybe he, like... Well, I mean... Like, in all seriousness, I think if Arthas would have had the chance to go to Revendreth and be humbled, which is what that was supposed to do, then he would have ended up in Maldraxxus with Draka. Because he's a warrior. That seems to be where the warriors go. He was not a noble soul, so he was never going to go to Bastion. He's not one with the earth. I'm pretty sure the Winter Queen would kick his ass out of freaking Ardenwell. So the only place he had to go would be Maldraxxus or the Maw. So that, like, brings up a whole lot of questions of where Arthas actually would have ended up had Uther and Devos not interfered. And what is that freaking word? Abused, that's the word. They abused their power as a ferryman of the dead to exact revenge, because everybody said it. Uther was getting revenge. He may think of it as justice, but it wasn't. He was literally going after the guy who killed him and split his soul. See, now I'm having ideas. Like, why did I do this to myself? So that is a good question. Where would Arthas have ended up had they not interfered? Because, I mean, yeah, there's a chance he would have ended up in the Maw. But if he was sorted, who would have known? Maybe. Because think about it. Lady Vash ended up in Maldraxxus. So Arthas could have ended up in Maldraxxus. Garrosh, supposedly, we don't know yet, ended up in Revendreth. And he was being tortured. So he could have ended up there. He did not have to go to the Maw. That was all Uther's doing because he had a bone to pick. And now, that could have, like, fucked Arthas up more. Like, maybe when we see him again, we'll have a supercharged, more pissed off Arthas because Uther had to get his revenge. And don't tell me it's justice, because it wasn't. That was pure vengeance. There was hatred in his eyes. You see a dying man and he is, like, finally come to terms with what he did. And the first thing you did was throw him into the Maw to have eternal damnation. That is some level 5 shit right there. Level 5. Level 10. That's higher than level 5. So I kind of want to know where Arthas would have ended up. This is in my head now. And Uther is no longer just a normal Kyrian anymore, because when you see them, he's like the purple Smurf, not the blue Smurf. So what happened from then and there? Did the Arbiter find out what him and Devos did and punish them? Can you punish a Kyrian? Is there anything you can do if they don't fulfill their mission? Because that'd be interesting. Like, what happens if you go, if you're sorted by the Arbiter into a world and it just doesn't fit? Like, do they just toss you into the Maw? Do they cast you aside? Do they assign you to a new coven? What happens? Sorry, went on a tangent there. I've never done this before. I'm not the kind of person who does theories. I just consume it and store it for later, and then I'll talk about it with my husband or friends or anybody who plays the game. So it was kind of weird, like, recording it down. But we're going to talk about Maldraxxus. So Maldraxxus is the warrior to me, the warrior area. Like, I know Bastion is warriors too, but they come off more like just regular paladins, and Maldraxxus is like the warriors. But something stuck out to me in the first couple minutes. First minute, it was like not even 2 minutes in, because while Draxus is a shorter episode. Draka had said something about the House of Plagues and how they were, what was the word? And how they were careless. So what is the House of Plagues? Was that how we got the Scourge attacks for the pre-patch? Is that how they're going to explain it? That somebody in the House of Plagues sent the Scourge upon us? Is the House of Plagues just the Scourge army? Because, see, now I'm starting to think things. So Draka and her house toppled over the House of Plagues. Is that going to be how the Scourge attack ends? That somebody comes and stops it, or just stops? Because we haven't gotten the pre-patch yet. It hasn't been live yet. It's been on the PTR, and I got to play a little bit of it. And, oh man, so what's going to happen with that? And I know Draka becomes in charge of her house when the leader disappears or dies. We really don't know what happened to him. We knew that his fortress that kind of looks like Noxramas blows up while she's on a mission. And did he send her away because he knew that he was going to be killed? Or did he not know and this was just happenstance? Because I kind of want to know now. Are they like going to join together? The four houses are going to join together and help with the jailer? Because I know there's supposed to be like a war going on between the covenants, and you're going to have to pick a side eventually. But are the four houses going to be able to coexist? Because they're at war with each other. Will they be able to fight other people? Because they're kind of an OP covenant. Like, to me, it looks like Ardenwell probably got the shit end of the stick when it comes to the covenant in terms of bat. I know there's a lot of like magic users, but as somebody who plays a druid, once somebody's up on you, you're kind of fucked. And I know they are melee class, but at the same time, like, in lore to what's going on with Afterlives, you think Ardenwell would get the shit end of the stick? Like, yeah, they got a dragon, but once you take a dragon down, what do they got? The Winter Queen? I mean, every group has somebody who's strong, who is a fighter. So how are you gonna stop them? I mean, God, I cannot wait for Ardenwell and Revendreth to come out, because I need more pieces. I need to see if Garrosh is there, because ever since I saw the teaser for it, that's the only thing I could think of. This is just, I have nothing else to say. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. This one didn't have too much in terms of story, really just telling us how Draka got her power and what to expect from Maldraxxus. I think story-wise, we'll get more out of Revendreth and the Maw. And I kind of want to know who the jailer is and why Sylvanas has aligned with him. Like, I know she's an enemy of life, but why, like, kill everything, you know? It's getting good. Whew, okay. That was a lot. I don't normally go into stuff like that, and it's kind of exciting. I kind of want to do it again. I'll wait till after Ardenwell and Revendreth come out before I do this again, so I'll have just a full episode just doing this. You know, talk about Warcraft and all that. But let's just chill. I don't need to do theory right now. I don't really have a lot of theories for the game as a whole. I've watched some theory videos, mostly about the Jailer and Sylvanas' relationship. But kind of want to talk about how excited I am about the customizations. I am really... I have a thing for making a female a blood elf with a dead eye, and I'm gonna do it. Like, it's gonna happen. She's gonna look cool. She'll be a hunter with a dead eye. Like, I will come up with a whole ass fucked up backstory about how she just fucked up with her arrows or something. Because I like to RP and I'm weird like that. But all seriousness, I don't want to say I have high expectations or low expectations. You pray for the best, but hope for it to be okay. Like, BFA was pretty good story-wise towards the end, but I personally hated the whole I can get ganked without even... I'm not a PvP player. I hate playing PvP. So the fact that if I forget to turn off my PvP and just get hit in open world is annoying in general. But the fact that I'm incentivized to keep it on is even more annoying, because it's like, you can get all this extra stuff or XP or whatever if you keep it on. I'm like, but I don't want to keep it on because there are assholes, namely my husband, who will literally gank me. He will hop on his alliance character just to be a dick. And I'm over here pissed. Because I'm not an alliance player. I've never been an alliance player. I mean, alliance? I do have an alliance character. I'm not a PvP player. I've never been good at playing PvP. I've always just played PvE or RP. So the fact that you are incentivized to play PvP on BFA while being interesting and an interesting concept, because it does add to the open war fair part of the game, because yeah, at the end of the day we're all at war. But I never liked it. That was always like a part. Just like, I don't like the Azerite or the artifact weapons. It's like, I did all that work for what? For nothing. Like, my daggers got destroyed and I had to give them back, and now I can't even keep my form or look cool. Because I have to equip other weapons that are stronger. Or I can't keep my staff that looks cool. Well, I can actually transmog my staff. I'm not right now because I got my heritage armor. Everything on me looks like a blood elf. So, well, actually everything right now looks very Zandalari, because I got a bunch of it from the dungeons and I needed it to bring up my item level. So I have to go transmog my stuff back to what I want it to be, because I like looking like a Zandari elf. I love the heritage armor for the blood elves. I worked really hard to get it and I'm going to wear it, damn it. All of my blood elves will have it on. It'll look like a uniform in my own character select screen. Every one of them will have on that damn armor. It's like, I don't care what you are. You're a warrior? Put on the outfit. You're a spellcaster? Put on the tunic. Like, we're doing this. I mean, it was actually pretty fun to do it too, even though I ended up standing in a spot for like 5 good minutes waiting for a queue to start. I'm like, okay, I see Arthas. He's standing there. Why isn't he attacking? It's like, oh, I have to go hit him first. I don't want to do that, you know? Like, I tell you, I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to stuff. I'm like, that's a big bad. I'm not hitting a big bad first. He can hit me first. And I already died. I died one time doing it. It was... You know that part, if you've done the Blood Elf Heritage Armor quest, where they had the Scourge attack Silvermoon? Right there in that pit in the Ghostlands? Yeah, that's the first place I died. Because I know no better. I did what I call a dumb. And I got killed. I was like, damn it. And I went back and finished it. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I figured it out eventually, but I was a bitch. And then I had to grind the levels to get the reputation up anyway, which was also a bitch. Like, my poor little Blood Elf Tabard got worked out. I needed it. But I was happy. I'm kind of happy I got 120 with my Warlock too. So, ready to go into the next game with the level squish. Like, it's so annoying if you have ults and you're trying to level them all up to 120 so that they're ready to go before the game, the new game comes out. And then you're all squished down to level 60. Or is it 50? Are we going to 50 and then can level up to 60? Or are we going to be 60 if we're already 120? Because either way, it's a bitch. Like, you lose half your levels. And I get it's to entice new players, but I don't know. It always seemed kind of like a dick move to me. It's just like, a lot of people have been playing this game for 14, 15 years, and they're back to where they were the first year the game came out when they got to level 60. And now you gotta do it all over again. Also, so new people can come in and act like they know the game better than you do. And I'm not one of them because I don't know the game as well as a lot of people. I am very dependent on YouTube for a lot of stuff in the older games in terms of how to find dungeons because I have the worst direction. I give the worst directions ever, so therefore I am terrible when it comes to coordinates and all that stuff. So I could be staring dead ass at the freaking quest giver and I'll never know it because it's like they're just a tick off from where they're supposed to be. I am that person who is dependent on the quest tracker, and even then I still fuck it up and have to go on YouTube and look for an entrance. Like, I know they're fucking supposed to be here, where are they? And it's like they're just underneath the hill. You're like, damn it, that sucks. But, nah, I am actually pretty excited for Shadowlands. It looks interesting. I hope it doesn't suck. Like, Legion didn't suck. BFA kinda sucked. Warlords of Draenor, I didn't play it. Mists of Pandaria, yeah. Cataclysm is when I actually started playing, so it's not terrible. I played Classic a bit. I've played some of the, you know, BC, and I've played some of Wrath. So, we're starting to really get away from the setup lore from Warcraft 3. We've been getting away from it since Rise of the Lich King, but we're starting to enter into a whole new pieces of lore. Yes, we have the fan service with the characters who are dead, and I cannot wait to see if Varian is in Maldraxxus as well. Like, I feel like all the warriors are there, but it will be nice to see Anduin and Varian get to speak again. And you know, there's like a lot of stuff that's gonna happen that I can't wait. At the same time, I don't want them to fuck it up like they do every other game that they put out here lately. Because they always do something to fuck it up. And I want this game to do good. I didn't like fall in love with the game for it to be fucked up. Like, and I'm not the most hardcore player. I'm not a casual, but I'm not a hardcore player. But I keep saying but. Like, I'm gonna end the sentence and then I keep going. I have a lot of thoughts about this, sorry. But seriously, for real, I am going to put that into the universe. Let's hope Shadowlands is really good and we get a lot of cool story stuff and some new stuff. And I know we're gonna get some stuff with Tyrande, the Night Warrior, and Alune, and I can't wait to see that stuff because I have a Night Elf character. So this stuff is important to my character, especially because that's the character that I RP with. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, you add stuff and everything changes. Like, is it going to fuck up her relationship with Malfurion? Is Illidan? We will find out if Illidan actually died on Argus. Because if he's not in the Shadowlands, did he die or did he go to like the other Shadowlands? Because different worlds have different ones. Or Like, I can't wait to see what happens there. Anyway, I'll catch you guys later. Bye.